So, Garrett, for the skit this week, do you have any ideas?
Well, it should be something about the L being Leviathan and no one figuring it out.
Yeah, that was good.
Even when they say it in the same sentence.
Wait, do you smell that?
Yes, even though the logistics of that happening is very unlikely.
Oh, it smells like soup.
Yes, it does smell like nondescript soup.
Oh, I think I want some of that.
Well, we have to record this episode first.
Okay, let's hurry and get that over with because I want soup.
Fair enough. Hello, and welcome to Going Digital, a Digital and Rewatch podcast, where I'm Shin Garrett.
And I am Kit Kat.
And this week is episode 105, where we talk about episode 36 of...
36?
36.
38?
No, 36.
Oh, yep. 36.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely sure about this one.
I can't read, is what we're learning today.
6 and 8 aren't even like alike that much. I mean, maybe.
I don't have my glasses on.
Okay, that's fair.
They sort of have a similar squiggly shape if you're squinting at them, which is what's happening right now.
Okay, I can accept that. Yeah. So, O2 this week was called Stone Soup, or in Japanese, Hagane no Tenshi. Shakomon, or whatever the name of the new Digimon was.
You didn't have the little person say it for us?
No. I did not have the robot say it for us.
She has such a cute little voice. Yeah, Steel Angel, I'm not sure about.
Yeah, and I don't know how to say Digimon's name. Shakomon? Shakomon?
Yeah, I would think that's what it is.
Because it's I don't know. I've never claimed to know how to pronunciate things.
Pronunciate.
Yep, that's the word I'm using for it.
Well, and I'm not sure what that means in Japanese, but this character is very clearly and I'm gonna mispronounce this probably, but dogu, which are like little, I think they're clay figurines. That were made in Japan for a long time.
Okay.
I knew these looked really familiar, so I went to go look them up. And they're really common in Eastern Japan and very rare in Western Japan. And nobody knows what they're for.
Gotcha.
But I'm glad they didn't pick the one that they call Jomon Venus, because it would be a very awkward show. It's that one is... I'm trying to figure out how to describe it. It looks like the bottom half of, or like the back half of a rhino with a cross sticking out of it with a head at the top and two little tiny boobies in the middle.
Okay. Yeah. So looking at the etymology of this Digimon, it does reference the Shikoi Dogu. I don't know how to pronounce the line over the O.
Yeah, I don't either. But that means, did they tell you that means googly-eyed? The Shikoki?
Yes, it does on Wikipedia right now.
I didn't realize that's where they were getting it from. It makes sense now.
And the fact that we're so deep in etymology means that neither of us like this episode.
Yeah. Wikipedia says, another distinguishing feature of the objects, these particular dogu, is that they have exaggerated feminine buttocks, chest, and thighs.
What? You, well then, yep, that's what it says.
Interesting.
So, Digimon.
Yes, digital monsters.
Yep. Do you want to tell me about this episode, or do you want to tell me about Atmon?
I would love to tell you about this episode. Essentially, Davis gets mad because Cody's running late because Cody's doing his school duties, and then they go to the digital world. Meanwhile, Arakinemon and Mamimon, are trying to follow Blackwar Greymon around, and then they're afraid they're gonna get destroyed, so they run away and they end up in, Digimon or Digiworld Chinatown, and they smell the soup and they get really excited and they go in there. And then the kids show up and there's a battle, but the kids Digimon are hungry, so they don't really do a very good job. And so Arakinemon and Mummymon run away, and then their car explodes, and then they find the spring of Chinese soup, and the restaurant owner whacks Mummymon and says, "Don't drink from that. You need to be permitted." And he's like, "Whatevs." And so then he drinks from it, and the holy stone appears, and the ring slides off with zero effort. And then Blackwar Greymon shows up and breaks the stone, basically. But everybody manages to Jogress, so that's exciting, I guess.
Yeah, and then it kind of ends on a cliffhanger, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Digimon.
Digital monsters.
There's maybe, like, actually 5 minutes of content in this 24-minute episode.
Yeah, pretty much. Do you want to talk for a minute about the troubling relationship between Mamimon and Arakinemon?
No, I'll let you enlighten me on that.
So
I understand that it's troubling.
It is troubling, yes, because Mamimon is, like, constantly trying to touch her, and Arakinemon is not into it. However, she just, when he gets to be too much, she, like, whacks him away, and instead of, like, having a discussion with him about boundaries, and then if he violates them, you know, moving away from him, spending less time with him, telling him that she doesn't want to be his friend, she doesn't want him around if he's going to be like that. And so there's this kind of weird situation where it seems like she needs him as an assistant, so she puts up with his behavior to a certain extent, and then when he gets too troubling, she hits him, which, you know, is actually kind of how a lot of codependent abusive relationships start, where it's like, I need you, but you're upsetting me, and then somebody hits somebody, and it goes downhill from there. So they need to go to counseling and make better choices about their relationships.
Okay.
Yes. That's the short version. That's the, did you see, did you hear, did you tell you about the relationship between Arakinemon and Mamimon?
Well then.
I thought Chinatown was really pretty.
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't know, it just kind of came out of nowhere, and they're just like, oh yeah, of course Digi Chinatown exists and is a thing.
Well, I'm also interested because I always thought Chinatown was kind of an American thing, or like any place, you know, I mean, like we have Japan towns and we have, you know, Italy, little Ukraine, et cetera, but it seems like that's, I just didn't imagine that there were Chinatowns in Japan, since they're so close to each other. We don't have Canada towns. We don't, I mean, I guess we have like little Mexico. So, but I mean, but they're quote unquote of the same race. So it seems like they would mix better, more homogeneously versus like Westerners and Easterners.
I don't know is my answer. I don't know. Maybe just they have enough different stuff to warrant having that.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Like, what would you put in? What would we put in Little Canada?
poutine, maple syrup, ice hockey.
I don't think you put hockey in one of the little
storefronts,
town places. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll have a little ice hockey rink in the middle.
Okay, sure.
And then lumberjacks and speaking French to be completing the stereotype.
Okay.
And then there would just be a giant boot, a statue of a boot at the front, and that would be called a boot. And that would be Canada Town. I hope we don't have any Canadian listeners who are now, like, never going to listen to our show again.
We definitely do, and we've definitely alienated them at this point.
So sorry. I'm just kidding. I love Canadians, and stereotypes are stupid. But poutine is amazing.
How can you have... Oh, wait, yeah, generally normal poutine. Well,
no poutine there is definitely gravy. Has gravy.
But there is vegetable gravy. Like, I can understand. I can work this back.
Yes. There is a place in Chicago called Chicago Diner where I have been many times, and they have very delicious fake poutine.
And I have been zero times.
Well, I know where we're going tomorrow. Just kidding. Oh. Merry / Happy Christmas to all of our listeners who celebrate.
Yep.
Very late. Post-dated Happy Hanukkah.
Yes.
That ended like a week ago, 2 weeks
Christmas
ago.
Christmas is on time. Hanukkah is in the past.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. If you're listening to this when this comes out on Christmas, because Christmas is on a Tuesday this year, go figure.
Yes. Yeah. Happy holidays, whatever you are celebrating. Enjoy time with your family and don't think about the weather.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. And
so I think I made my point about there isn't like a lot to put in a Canada town, which is probably why it doesn't exist.
I guess.
Like, I assume that that's why people like don't have like a Little America elsewhere.
Oh, we missed one. The one I was going for, Happy Boxing Day. That was the one I was going to get to.
Okay. For the day after Christmas?
For the day after Christmas.
Okay.
Okay, we can go back to Digimon now.
Okay. I mean, we can go back to talking about the idea of little blank towns, too.
Okay. Yes.
Since this is where we are.
Yeah. So, I thought they actually made a pretty funny joke in the original one, Arcanemon hits Mummymon in the head because he says, "It's a Chinatown," and she's like, "Duh, I know it's a Chinatown. Everyone knows it's a Chinatown." So she abuses him, which isn't very nice. But in the dub, instead, she says, "Oh, I want to get sandals." And he says, "Oh, because you have those weird sticky feet," or something like that. And then she hits him and being like, "You know, I'm very sensitive about my feet," which made more sense to me as a reason to abuse someone. Not like I would do that, but.
Okay. Sure, I suppose.
I thought it was a better plot point.
Really, I'm just here going, is this more of a problem that it's being looked into this much to assume this? Or is having comedic villain relief bad?
I don't know. I mean, it's a kid's show. You don't want them to have night terrors. Like, I'm a giant baby person, and I'm afraid of everything. And we watched that new show, Bird Box, or not show, new movie, Bird Box, on Netflix.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a horror movie.
Okay. I wouldn't watch it in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, neither would I normally, but I got through it, and then I was so worried last night that I was going to go to sleep and have nightmares because I'm a tiny child, but I would not want anyone to watch Digimon and have nightmares about the villains. So I think they try to make the villains not too scary.
Okay.
So I'm okay with them having, you know, funny villain banter.
Okay. I was more talking about the hitting part, that that's kind of just the stereotype that they go through when they need to have bumbling villain characters.
Mm, yes. Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense psychologically, right? Like, people who are not very good at what they're doing tend to be more aggressive and abusive because they're trying to make up for the fact that they're not able to do the thing they want to do.
Also that they're villains?
Also that they're villains, yes. I agree with you. People who hit other people are definitely villains, unless they're MMA fighters. But even some of those people are not that great. Sorry to all of our MMA listeners.
Wait, so you count MMA, but you don't count wrestling?
I mean, wrestling is not, like, I don't know. To me, if the other person knows that you're going to hit them, it's not really the same. Like, in professional wrestling...
So it gets
wrestling,
a pass.
Huh?
So it gets a pass.
Yeah, like in professional wrestling, they make an agreement. This is what they're going to do. Everybody knows what's going to happen. It's more or less a choreographed dance with hitting, but like everybody agrees to it. I think that's a little different than not knowing what's coming and trying to actually fight each other. Because like, you know who the heel is, you know who's going to win, et cetera, et cetera. Like, not that the heel never wins, but there's a different kind of setup versus like, something where you're like, okay, I'm just going to beat the living tar out of this person and hopefully win, seems different.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes.
So, there definitely was a recorder in this opening of this episode, right? Like, that's the instrument they were playing?
When?
In the very beginning of this episode. When they're doing the establishing shot of outside the school.
Boy, I have no idea. I can bring it up and listen to it.
Because it definitely sounded like a recorder to me.
Hold on. I don't think I was aware of that. Let's see. This folder is empty. Well, that's a problem.
But, I don't know, like... This episode is mostly villain shenanigans, and it's there. It exists.
Yeah.
There's maybe like 5 minutes of Cody figuring out how to do stuff, how to be a more compassionate person. I'm not sure what the moral was here.
What the hell?
Because, like, what was it? It was like he was upset that everybody wanted to go get ramen because they're like, Blackmore, Greymon, guys.
Yes.
But then he learned that ramen is good because the Digimon need to eat.
Yeah, that was interesting. I was kind of annoyed that, like, Daisuke gets mad at him for, doing his school duty, which, like, they still have to keep up their lives if they're not gonna tell everybody that they're the heroes of the digital world and, like, go and actually, you know, live there permanently and give up their lives as children. They still have to do the things that are important to them, but Daisuke gets mad about it. But then when they're like, oh, let's go eat, then Daisuke's like, F yeah, this is my life.
Yeah, I mean, but again, like, that's Daisuke being portrayed as a child, which he is, so.
Yes, yeah. Well, and I also thought that the fact that, like, they kind of actually do need to eat to be able to fight and stuff, so it kind of makes sense that they're needing to do that, and that people need to learn that, like, you still have to engage in self-care to be able to survive no matter what is going on at a given time. So, like, to be a hero, you still have to feed yourself and, you know, stuff like that.
Right. But, so, why aren't the Digimon just eating normally?
It seems like bring along some snacks, you know?
I mean, like, Yoli brings along water, so, like, why wasn't there snacks with the water?
Yeah,
you can't have water without snacks. Anyway.
Sorry, I'm listening to the beginning of the episode to see if I can hear the recorder.
It's there, I think. I don't know. Or it's just off-tune instrument.
Yeah, nope, you're definitely right. That is definitely a recorder.
That's what I thought. I'm like, I know this sound.
I didn't even notice.
It's the first thing I noticed.
Yep, cool.
Because like the whole thing is like Cody gets upset that TK's like, we should have ramen. And Cody's like, no, we shouldn't. We should be doing the thing and saving the digital world or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, and I understand why Cody's upset. But then I think he does kind of learn a valuable lesson that, like, you need to take care of yourself and others. Although it ends up that because they're eating, they don't really get a chance to get to the Holy Stone first.
I mean, they get there at the same time.
Well, not as Mamimon and Arakenimon.
Well, they're not the ones doing the destroying, though.
I mean, in this case, they kind of are, because Mamimon, by hanging onto the stone, pulls the ring off.
I don't think that breaks the stone. I think that just made it glow. Glowed.
It glowed.
Yes, it glowed.
It made it glue.
It made it glue. It made it glow, really sticky.
Glow, glue. Yeah,
it said the exact same thing I said.
I don't know what's wrong anymore. Just throw me away and get a new co-host. I didn't mean to.
No.
Cool.
Anyway, the contract says otherwise.
Again, with these contracts. Yeah, but it's interesting that it's that easy to do. Why Blackwork Greymon wasn't just sliding these things off instead of attacking, but I guess
it doesn't destroy them.
Well, but it makes it so he can destroy them.
I mean, I think you destroy it either way if it's on or not.
Hmm.
I think taking it off just made it visible to everybody so they could find it.
Oh, I see. I just assumed, because he kept having to break the ring before, that the ring was, like, necessary for keeping the stone invulnerable.
No, I think it's just it's like an Arfid shield, where,
It's like a what?
An Arfid shield. An RFID.
Oh, okay.
Where it shields the signal.
Ah, okay. It hides it.
Yeah.
So that's like an Offmon, essentially, is what you're saying.
No, different. Because it's not awful. Heyo.
I'm now going to spell Offmon A W F. Offmon. but back to O2. Yes.
What about O2, really?
Well, Cody
learns to be less of a hard ass, and thus he can Jogress.
Yes, functionally, that is what happens. Yeah. Also, I've been thinking this for a while, and I hadn't brought it up. I think Mamimon looks younger in his bandages than he does in his weird hat and coat.
Yeah.
I feel like he should look older.
Oh.
Also, this episode was extra short on plot because they spent so much time bothering to put, like, the failed Jogressing over and over again.
It was twice, but yes.
I feel like it was twice too many times.
There was a lot of stock footage.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, when the...
The Digitamamon came back, but it's a different one.
Yes.
He runs the restaurant. I guess all Digitamamon run restaurants.
He's the Nurse Joy of the digital world.
Yes.
And Officer Jenny? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I just like Digitamamon.
Digitamamon's cool. I'm into him. I have two things to say. One, when Mamimon was licking the, Chinese soup and it started to like boil up and explode. I thought we were going to have a soup monster and I was actually kind of excited about it.
and then this episode continued.
Yeah. And the other thing is that it says that people who drink the Chinese soup without, permission will be punished, but finding the Holy Stone doesn't punish Arakenimon and Mamimon. It's what they want. They want to find the Holy Stones. They want to get them destroyed. So I feel like this soup pond has failed because that was not a punishment. That's exactly what they wanted. It's us, the viewers, who are being punished.
Sure. I don't know if I really have anything else to say about this episode.
The only thing I have to say is that Joe Gressing appears to be basically couples therapy, because everybody who Joe Gresses gets along a lot better and understands each other.
Oh, I thought that was a bad explanation, but yeah, that happens.
Yes.
Yeah, because TK and Cody, that's his name.
Yep.
Talk about it, and I'm like, no, I don't think that's how that works. Like, I don't think Joe Gressing did that. I think the experiences that got them there did that.
The power was in you all along.
Well, no, I mean, the power of just being trapped in the dark ocean world together did that, I guess.
I guess
afterwards, then after that, you there is, I guess, an additional sense of feeling required to, you know more about the person or whatever, or not necessarily get along with them better, but to hang out with them more, which would have the side effect of it.
Well, although they say that the Joe Gressing, like, they think the same things, they feel the same things. And, like, people, when they're listening to music, their the waveform patterns of their brain start to match the music. So if you have a bunch of people in the same place all feeling the same way, it's a really, I'm trying to think of a good word, but like almost mystical experience where everyone kind of feels the same thing and you feel like you're one of many and you feel like a part of something at a very deep level. So maybe that's what's happening for them.
So you're saying that, Joe Gressing is taking an earbud out of your ear and giving it to your friend?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I'll accept that.
Do you have anything else to say about this episode?
No.
I just have one thing to say, which is that the dub made a really bad joke about MSG, and I was unhappy about it.
Oh, did it?
Yes.
Okay.
Why
were you mad about it? Did it portray it in like a negative way when it's not necessarily negative?
Yes.
Okay.
So, anywho. Yes.
Yeah, okay. MSG's fine. Hot take. 2018.
Okay. Do you want to recap the other?
No, but I'll do it.
Okay. Thank you for your sacrifice.
You're welcome. What is this episode even called? It is called probably really long title, because Atmon has really long titles. It is election results. The Hands of Evil approach Aerie. I still will never know.
Aerie.
Yeah, Aerie. Exactly. I said it wrong on purpose that time.
Uh-huh.
Or in Japanese, oh boy.
Is our little person broken? Or
no, I just don't want to do it. I'm just preemptively being lazy.
Interesting.
You know what? Japanese person's gonna come in anyway. I'm not even gonna try. So basically, it is a continuation of last episode, where now it's time for idol election results. But it's kind of like, parallel cut to Ray, breaking into the L Corp building, which we've done before. He did it in the dark web. Now he's just doing it in the real world. And that's always exciting to see. Because it's generally pretty neat.
Yeah.
So then there's that, in coordination with the election thing. And then before that, Aerie's mom had left her a note on the fridge in the morning before she went off to work, presumably, to wish her daughter good luck. Which they hold from showing until like little bit in, which is a thing. But anyway, so they start going through the election results, and they count from the bottom up, because that's how you build tension. That is tension building dot text,
basically.
And it starts to get, you know, higher or lower and lower up to the top, whatever. Everybody's getting super nervous, and the voting app for this is Super Facebook, we learn, when Hackman hacks it. And then we get down to, like, the last one before the Nine Gods or whatever. And shock, surprise, Ari ends up getting 10th place, which is actually, like, in regards to where she was before, and, like, the moving up is super good, but also still not one of the Nine Gods, but that's okay. She goes up, gives a speech in character about explosive punching, all of the things. And there's a lot more there, but we'd be here forever. We talked about them all.
Yes.
So afterwards, her mom calls her and Kirk congratulates her, which is a good moment. And then Knight comes in and ruins everything.
Yeah, and is like a creepy stalker.
Knight's the worst. He invites Ari to a party, which is just to recruit her for L Corp or whatever. She's like, nope, screw that, and jumps off the boat because no one expected her to ever think of that for some reason. And then the four ultimate Atmon show up. That's kind of the episode. I'm mostly just ending it because, like, I feel like my voice is getting super dry and I'm just like, I want to shut up.
Yeah, I don't know. It was interesting.
I actually really like this episode.
I actually did too, which I know you apparently think is super surprising.
You don't like Ari, so yes, I do think that's super surprising.
I don't like Ari because they don't do a good job with her plot line, but I thought this time they did a good job with it.
I think this episode's really effective.
Yeah.
Because I also basically teared up watching this again after I cheated last week and watched it before. Like, I do genuinely think the whole buildup of the election results is truly effective.
Yes. I agree. I think that they also do a good job of showing her friends being, like, really supportive and everybody being really excited, you know.
Astra is super second MVP this episode. just because, like, I feel like earlier on I complained about how they ended up sharing a lot of episodes. Because there's the one, I think, where they both evolved in the same episode.
Yes.
Which wasn't the best. But they also, like, they weren't, like, super friends before, but between last episode and this episode, I feel like they both grew more of an understanding towards each other, which they have shown, which I really like.
Yeah, I thought it was really nice. And, like, they also, the like, B-plot of Ray going to find his brother in this building, it actually meshed really well with the rest of the episode. So that was nice, because they don't always do that very well.
Yeah, I think it was a good thing. It was a good thing to kind of cut between, to kind of break the tension between the two things.
Yeah.
Just because the Ray thing, there's kind of tension to it, but I wouldn't, like, put it as such, but I don't want to say it was suspenseful either. I can't think of the word I'm looking for. It is the feeling when you're watching, like, Leverage or Mission Impossible or whatever, of the breaking into the building.
Yeah, I think tension is a good idea. And also, I mean, sitting around watching, if it had just, this episode had just been, like, sitting around watching, waiting for Ari to win or not win or whatever, like, that would have been pretty boring overall.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they do it to pretty much have a passage of time so they don't have to go through all 470.
Yes.
Idle
which
numbers.
Is totally fair, because that would be really annoying.
Or just, like, cut up front, or to just, like, cut. They needed to have something in between to have it still feel like the whole thing was being done. But what else? So I do like I agree with the choice of they did not make her a nine god, one of the nine gods. They did give her the 10th.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure is more of like a Japanese trope than it is over here. To kind of like not have the true goal be to have the true goal happen. Like, I feel like if this was a cartoon over here, she would have
probably, yeah,
been higher. And I think that's generally just a trope that they do better in Japanese. Mostly, I think, to like, I love like sports, anime, and manga kind of do the same thing where it's working towards like the regionals, the nationals, or whatever. And in the end, they don't end up succeeding fully. But then it kind of just makes the point that it was about the journey and like the connections everybody made, if it's a team sport or whatever, and things like that. And I think that is more effective storytelling.
Yeah, because if they win all the time, it just gets annoying. But that's like what Americanism is. Like, America has to be the best at everything. So our sports people have to be the best at everything, blah, blah, blah. And you just grow dependent on that.
Right. So yeah, I'm glad they didn't do it. This is better here. As Esther says, it is the best 10th place.
Yeah, that was cute too. Yeah, and seeing her friends support her was like a big deal.
Yes. Also, like, I don't want to say the best part, but it's real good. When they first call her and she first gets up and starts walking, it's like dead silent. There's no audio.
Yeah.
And then it takes Dokomon calling out to her for then all of like the cheering to come in.
Which was sweet. Then it's like, oh, her friends are talking to her.
Yeah, I feel like that's a super real thing, though, where you're just like, it's like the shock of it, and then having just everything come back. I think it's really good.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I actually really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was a really good one. I have some things I didn't like about it, but for the most part, it was really good. And I was also glad that they didn't put her in the Nine Gods, because she's not there yet as a character.
Right.
So it really would have been... It would have felt like
she even acknowledged past episode.
Yeah. That she's not there yet. And so I think that's important that she's aware of that. And they, you know... I think that really is a much better choice for kids shows in general, because kids are not going to be perfect at everything. And
right.
They shouldn't expect to be. And I think, you know, teaching respect for... the process of learning and growing is more important than showing kids that, I don't know, that they're the people that they care about are winning all the time.
Right. On kind of the opposite side, though, I do like that they do bring up the issue with the voting app, and they do shoot down that it's just because of that.
Yeah.
I feel like that is a good move.
Yeah, she earned this on her own.
Yes. So that was your... I'm glad they addressed that, so it just wasn't like a lingering thing or something that someone could come back to.
Yeah. Be like, well, you didn't earn it.
Right. And when her mom calls her, that's like both of the times where I lost it watching this episode.
That's cute.
Because I think it's really good. I think Harry's mom's really good. We've seen her for a total of maybe like a minute total ever, but it was a good minute.
It was nice to see her supporting her daughter.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. Like, that whole thing is just like, it shot really good. The cuts are really good. It cuts back to the Atmon question when she's walking up, which is a good touch.
Yeah, well, because as she's walking up, she's like, oh, wait a second. All of these people are smiling. I'm doing the thing I wanted to do.
It's real good. I'm just surprised, like... Both times I'm like, this is really effective, and this is like produced really well. How did you do this, Atmon? I've seen your other episodes.
They put all their budget for plot into this one episode.
That's fair. And even like the Ray stuff was pretty good too.
Yeah, I felt like it was.
Not to kind of just, like, push it to the side when there's all this Arya stuff going on, but the Rey getting into the building, like, that was interesting stuff. And as I brought up, like, they hack the voting app and find out it's just stealing all the personal data.
Yeah, which is interesting because I think that came up before.
It's also super relevant to right now.
Yeah, right now especially, which it wasn't exactly at the time.
It wasn't as far, I would say. Like, I think we're definitely closer to it than we were when this episode aired.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah. So I do like that part. Because then he actually encounters Leviathan too, which maybe he should have realized the white room, the one computer in the middle was like, a trap, but...
Hello. Yeah. It's okay.
Maybe, actually. I can see it either way. Like, if I were to think of a person who would have that room, I would think it would be Knight's room.
I guess, because it's all white and stuff.
Yeah. And he's just the worst. That's kind of where the episode starts to fall apart.
Well, he's definitely the worst, because then he tries to put the moves on Eri, and it's creepy. Super
and
creepy.
And it's just not working.
Yeah.
Which I think is due... I think, in the beginning, it's due to her more being oblivious than anything.
That's possible, yes.
Because he's talking, she's just like, yeah, okay, sure. You talk about things.
Yeah, I was a little concerned about what was happening for a bit. Because it was pretty clear to me that he was about to sexually assault her. That's what I thought was happening.
My mind didn't go there instantly. I guess in retrospect, I can see that. But I'm also like, mine won't do that.
Yeah, it's a kid's show, so I didn't think that was really going to happen, but all my personal alarm bells were going off, like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. I may have had that experience one too many times, so I was panicking a little bit for her, but everything's fine.
That's fair. Yeah, I guess I did not have the perspective to see that, I suppose.
Yeah, which is good. I hope you never, ever have to. Or anyone else.
That does make sense, because he is creepy and he is a douche, so...
Yeah.
I see this now that you're explaining it to me.
But I was glad they didn't go that way, because I would rather they didn't.
Yeah, that not particularly for a kid's show?
No. Not into it.
What else was... So then there's, the parallel when Rey meets up with the kids after Hackman gets them out of Leviathan and stuff. They're like, guys, L means Leviathan.
At which point, everyone should have been like, oh god, obviously. Why didn't we notice that?
Yeah, except they're like, oh god, that owns Ares Idol Group. We need to call her.
Yeah, which is good that their first thought is of their friend. Like, yeah. Oh no, our friend. That's nice. I like that.
Yeah, that's good. Also, side plot. Eugene and Othman aren't here, and it's great.
At all. They aren't there at all. Yeah.
I like this, because then it's not about them, which it has been for the past while.
Yes, frequently.
But I'm also hoping this, also leads into a B plot where we actually find out what's exactly going on with them. So I want to preemptively like it for where it may take us.
You're like, just in case.
Yeah. So while they're doing that, it cuts back to Eri, who's on the boat with Un, with Ryuji or whatever. Knight, the worst knight. And she's got this super cute dress.
It is super cute. I would totally love to see more of that dress.
Same. It was real good. Also, I don't think I brought it up last time, but I think it's odd that Eri's normal top is technically a tank top thing or sleeveless.
Wait, why do you think that's odd?
I don't know. I just always assumed it had sleeves.
Oh.
And then it didn't.
And you were like, wait a second.
I just never realized she always was dressed in layers.
It's important to dress in layers.
Yeah, but also wear shorts?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
I feel like that you're not dressing for the weather in both extremes.
Yeah, I don't know. Her outfit has always bothered me a little bit, but, you know, fashion is not something I understand, so.
Nor do I.
But this outfit was really cute.
Yeah, I was into it. But then we get rid of it because we have to fight against the man.
Literally.
Yes, actually, literally. Because then Knight reveals to Ari the same things that everybody else figured out. And he's like, I'm personally scouting you to be a part of this. And she's just like, no? I mean, it's more than that, because she takes off her shoes and stands on one of those chairs.
Which, girl, just stand. Well, don't be respectful of this guy.
That's her thing. She's polite. She's not going to compromise her ideals for this man.
I guess not, but you also shouldn't respect people who don't respect you.
Respecting her own ideals.
Okay, boss.
Man, that was dismissive as all hell. But anyway, she gives her speech of like, LOL, no, pretty much, is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And then Knight's like, well, escape from all these dudes.
And she's like, I got this.
And she's like, all right. And then she goes back to get Dokuman, and it's like, we're out of here. And then this is parallel to everybody going to find where Ari is, where they find out. They have some phone calls. They get the name of the boat. They do a Google search. And then the guys get in the swan boat of the season, because it can't be a Digimon season unless you have a swan boat.
I was like, oh my god, there it is.
Yep, here it is. They did it. And Astra and Taru have to pedal the entire time, which is kind of good. It was a good comedy gag. I was into it. Especially like when Haru's doing it and he's like texting Eugene at the same time. It's a super good shot.
I guess. That wasn't my favorite shot, but...
I thought it was real, it was a good juxtaposition of just, like, how fast, like, the bottom half with the feet were going, and he was just, like, so careful typing.
Yes, okay, that part was funny.
Yes, that was the exact part that I was referring to.
Okay.
I thought that was a good visual gag.
Yes. That was cute. Although, it always makes me sad, because he likes him so much, but he's very clearly a robot person or something, and is gonna end up killing him, probably trying to kill him.
Probably.
You say that like you know what's gonna happen. That makes me angry.
I don't. I told you like a million times. I forgot. I know you don't believe me.
Don't believe you. I really do not.
I feel like you should believe me more when I freely admitted to watching like the first half of this episode early. Like, I feel like I should have built some good faith for you
some
to believe me. Yeah.
Maybe.
But then back on the boat, Knight's like, well, how are you gonna escape? And Ari's just like, I'm gonna jump off. And everybody's like, oh, I didn't think of this.
Like, guys, come on now. Don't be dumb. Obviously that's what she's doing.
Yeah, like I don't know why it's a surprise.
I don't know either. It seems like it shouldn't have been.
But it's also kind of badass?
I guess. I mean, I don't know.
It felt very, like, action movie trope.
Yeah, definitely. She's leaping off into space.
Well, she's, like, doing the thing where, like, she jumps onto, like, the railing of it. She, like, turns around and gives a smirk to Knight, and then just kind of jumps out of it backwards.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if she saw her friends down there or not.
No, I don't. Well, I'm not sure. It could go either way. But at that point, it's like, it doesn't even matter. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, she's just like, nah, you can't cage me.
And then the four whatever Digimon show up.
Yes, the ultimate whatevers.
The D&D party shows up.
Pretty much.
My headcanon is that they're a D&D group.
We'll see how that goes.
Probably poorly for them. Rocks fall, everybody dies.
Oops. Problems.
And that was that, man.
Yep.
I really like the first half of this episode a bunch. I mean, the second half's fine. It's just not as good.
Yeah, it's still pretty good, though. Just not as good.
Yeah. The emotional stuff was real strong. And then when they go back to just, like, action and stuff, it's like, but you were doing so well with the emotional stuff. You should try being emotional more.
Yes, they definitely should. Because they did a pretty decent job with this, so.
Yeah, it was real good. The fact that it was built up, too, it was like a two-parter, also really helped it.
Yes.
I mean, along with the fact that, like, Eri has been an idol since the beginning, and we've slowly got more information about that throughout till it finally, like, got to its climax in this episode, which is super cool.
Well, I don't know. Is this really the climax? Because she's presumably going to get even better.
Well, for this series, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Because if it's a yearly election, I don't think we're gonna loop around to another year.
I don't know.
I wouldn't think so. I think this is the thematic climax of Ari's idol arc.
She's never going to get any better than this? That's a little depressing.
I honestly think it's going to get pushed to the side for the main plot now, since we're coming up on, like, the final dozen or so episodes.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. I hadn't thought about that.
Because Atmon's only, like, a 50 or 52-episode series, and we're getting close to 40. So, I mean, I would think, just based on previous knowledge of shows or whatever, that I think they're wrapping up any of, like, the personal character arcs to then kind of be ready to hit the ground running for, like, the final confrontation stuff. That's what I think, at least.
Well, I have no idea. It seems reasonable.
Like, I think after this, I don't think there's going to be a lot of idol stuff after this. Though, like, in my heart, I'm kind of worried that since Leviathan owns the idol group, that they could totally just fuck everything over about this episode.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's in the back of my mind.
Well, and hopefully it doesn't happen, but it might.
That's why I kind of hope we're just kind of done with it now for this season.
I guess you'll find out.
I will. I can't feasibly watch ahead to figure it out, because I'd have to just watch the remainder of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it'll be fun, though.
Yeah. Atmon has reminded us that it's good.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they keep this up, I'd be happy with them.
Yeah, this is real good. And again, like, I super like that. In, like, the previous 35 episodes, here and there, they've kind of, like, shown us into what Eri has been doing in her idol stuff to kind of make it more poignant. Poignant.
Poignant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they've done a pretty good job of that.
This is, like, an honest-to-truth real character arc that happened.
We haven't been getting too many good ones of those recently.
Yeah. Why are they, like, always... Maybe they just favor Eri in the show.
Maybe.
Because she gets a couple. Like, she gets the one with when her single gets released or whatever. From way back when.
Yes.
She had that food review thing that continued on.
Yes.
There was the training thing with Coachman. Coachman came back this episode. That was real good.
It was nice to see him, yes.
Coachman should be around more. I really like him. But I'm also still always down for Ray leveraging a building. Which I've never watched Leverage. I hear it's a good show.
I don't know what that is.
It's a show about heists.
Well, if it's anything like that, maybe it's good.
I'd be into it. I just haven't had the chance to watch it. I'm bad at actually watching media.
I am also. But I have a new series to watch, The Marvelous Ms. Maisel. I'm into that.
Yeah? What is that?
It is a show on, I believe, Netflix, about a woman in the 50s who her She does everything the way she's supposed to do it in her life, exactly how her parents want, more or less. And then everything falls apart and she ends up becoming a comedian.
I think I saw a preview for this somewhere.
It's good. I really like it.
Okay. That's neat.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I really had to say about this episode. I don't think so. It was just good all around. I definitely preferred this one over the other one.
Oh, yeah. It's not even a competition of which one's better this week.
No. Not even a little bit. Which is fine, I guess.
I mean, yeah, kind of just looking over my notes, just like, there's that. It was mostly like Arakenimon and Mummymon just having shenanigans for like 20 minutes. And then There was 4 minutes of Cody learning to be less strict to then better jive with TK's freeness so then they could DNA digivolve or whatever.
Yes.
And that was it.
Yes. Which is fine.
But like they even had like episodes to build it up and like they didn't, I don't think.
You mean for season 2?
Yeah, for the Jugress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like they had Cody do things last episode, but like they didn't, I don't think they helped get to the final.
Not really, no.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was interesting. I think this episode wasn't bad. It just wasn't their best episode.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was okay.
Like, I still overall think the Black War Greymon arc is fairly interesting, even if the single episodes aren't necessarily good.
Yeah, I could agree with that. It seems like
having like a plot thread for them to like continue to follow has been good for O2.
Yeah. When not something we always see in Digimon.
But yeah, I think that's everything I have to say. Atman was real good.
It was. It was. Actually, I watched it with some friends and they were, I was like, this is probably the best episode of this I've seen. So I was really happy that that happened to be the one that I picked to share with people.
Yeah, I feel like you need all that other context for the beginning to really make sense.
Well, it didn't take me that long to explain it.
That's fair. So, yeah. I think we're good. You can find this show on the internet at goingdigitalpodcast.com, where there's links to all of the things. You can listen to my other show, Journey Through the DecaCast, at journeythroughthedecacast.com. I realized maybe not everybody would know how to spell that, but it's just how you think it's spelled. It's just DECA for DECA, and then you just add cast at the end of it, because then it makes a podcast pun. This is the thought process that was gone through for this. Yeah. Hi, Kumi.
We didn't talk about this part too much, but this is a tribute poem. Faithful Dune Buggy, best character this season. Rest in peace, my friend.
Really? The Dune Buggy's best character?
I feel like.
Okay, that's fair. It was probably the best villain we've had.
Yes, definitely. But character is 3 syllables and villain is only 2.
Oh, okay. The Digivolution is one of the 9 gods.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yep. And good time.
And goodbye.
And stop.